Hey, you're listening to World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. Rich Tarbell is a guy who knows everyone. And a guy who knows everyone is the best person to give you the lay of the land, especially when it's been their home for over 30 years.
How's it going, Kaleo?
Nice to meet you, Kaleo. Rich Tarbell.
For our Sense of Place trip to Charlottesville, Virginia, we connected with this longtime photographer who's gone from taking photos of local and national bands to writing a book documenting the long-running music scene. It's called Regarding Charlottesville Music. And we're standing in the Mad Bowl. It's a big open field on the University of Virginia campus, lined with frat houses, and it was the center of the music scene in the 1970s.
This was kind of ground zero for the start of the music scene in Charlottesville, when fraternities would pay bands more than anybody, basically. And ultimately, this field became the center of a party called Easters, a kind of legendary party at University of Virginia. It was in the early 70s, it was like named the best party in America by Playboy magazine. And that's where it starts to grow too big for its own good. Mm-hmm. And I think it was 1976, they said there were 15,000 people in this field with bands playing.
Yeah, there's not exactly room for that here, but it did set things in motion.
They tried to relocate it to different places out of here and temper it down, but that got shut down. But those days were kind of the beginning of Charlottesville music in terms of bands making a living at music, because they could play these fraternity parties all the time. I think we're just going to make this little walk today from the university to downtown, which is not that far. It's a little over a mile, and we'll hit a couple of spots along the way. And I think I can kind of show you how this town has developed, which I think you can also kind of trace the movement of the music and the venues to the development of the town. So this is the corner. It's known as the corner. And this is University Avenue.
Okay.
Which transitions into Main Street. It's basically the same road.
And you can see there are dozens, hundreds of students walking by on their way to class.
Late for class, barely getting out of bed.
Back in the 70s, the corner was a bustling spot for live shows. You could catch bands like the Nighthawks. Put me on a stand. What happened? Ultimately, the scene didn't last.
There was a big change in the number of music venues that the corner supported when the drinking age changed. When it went from 18 to 21, had a major effect on this town because it's a college population supporting those bars.
The live scene of the 70s may be gone, but the centerpiece of the corner, can you have a centerpiece in something called the corner? I guess, I digress, the centerpiece. The crown jewel is still here.
The corner parking lot. This is called literally the corner parking lot.
Yeah, literally, because it is a parking lot. How did a triangle-shaped piece of cement help the music scene in the mid-1990s?
A lot of musicians worked here as staff for the parking lot, and it was a great job for them because they could leave on tour. And Chris would say, yeah, go, we'll cover it, whatever. Come back, you still have your job. This right here is actually Chris Farina in the green shirt. He owns the place and has forever. So
you're joking. He's here?
We're talking about you.
So it's not your usual. I shouldn't say that about other parking lots, but I'm assuming we're a little bit different.
This is a very different parking lot. Did you open this parking lot, or how long have you been?
I've been here for, I actually worked here for 3 years before I even had the business, and that started in 1983. It's like one of the few places that people feel like, oh, this is still Charlottesville.
As long as the parking lot, the corner lot exists.
Yeah.
After meeting Chris, we headed to the car.
Did you plan for that, Rich?
No, this is kind of getting weird.
Told you he knew everybody.
One other side note, you can't really see, but the red house over there, red brick house, you kind of see all these apartments growing around it, right across from the corner parking lot. That was the beginnings of pavement, the man pavement. However you feel, whatever
it takes, whenever it's real. And with that, you're off.
So we're driving on University.
We're
right
kind of, yeah, we're leaving the corner, basically that building there. The corner kind of ended, and literally you didn't really go past that railroad trestle when I was in school here in the early 80s. This was what you're going to see here is the development of the town from, I can speak from my area, this hospital is all brand new, all yep. These buildings here.
There are a lot of, like, what looks like
2000s, 2010 developments
here.
Yeah,
this building's not even 5 years old here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to pull over here and we'll get out.
Okay.
We'll just use blinkers and people can deal with this.
So we are standing in a parking lot again, although it's a much newer parking lot.
This is 11th Street. This is at one point the center of the music scene in terms of venues in Charlottesville in the 70s, 80s, into the mid 90s. You had the mine shaft on one side of the street. It was literally a cellar below and a studio art shop. And across the street, you had Tracks, which was a giant building. You can see we're right next to the railroad tracks, hence the name Tracks, okay? It was a giant barn-like roadhouse, held 700-some people.
Tracks was also home to one of the biggest bands in the world. Just not yet.
Satellite in my eyes, like a diamond in the sky. How I wonder. Satellite.
Tracks is where most infamously for being the startup bar for Dave Matthews, playing there every Tuesday night for $5 or whatever, $4. For a couple years before they broke nationally. That was kind of their minor leagues, if you will. That's where they started.
We're talking about these places, but I am not seeing them. What happened?
You are absolutely correct. This is part of what we're gonna see is this movement of the music scene. The music scene had these venues on what was sketchy areas of town, but now they're right in the center of town. Just a lot of this town growing into where we had the music venues at one point.
And pushing those music venues out.
Pushing those music venues to the next point, and we're gonna find that as we make a couple more stops more down to the downtown mall where everything has landed.
Well, could I have been a parking lot attendant? Could I have been?
So where are we off to next?
So let's take a little walk again, keep going down eastward, and we're gonna go to the Blue Moon Diner.
On the way there, Rich runs into the 9th or 10th person he knows
stop.
Well.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Hey, Tina. How are you?
And we are standing in front of a small blue, no surprises there, building.
So this is the Blue Moon Diner, which was actually just recently reopened. Still the coolest place in town to hang out and to see music that is kind of like that spot where you need to be in the know a little bit. But if you're in the know and you go, some nights you come here and you find magic.
When there isn't a band playing, the diner spins all their music off of LPs. From the outside, you can see stacks of vinyl in the windows.
Devo, Chuck Berry, The Clash, The Cars, Joan Jett, Funkadelic.
Absolutely. Come on in.
Let's walk on in.
You.
So my first question was,
where is the stage? Are we sitting on
the
stage?
We are literally sitting on the stage. This table folds up into the wall, and we're on this little elevated stage in the corner, and this is it.
On this tiny stage in the Blue Moon Diner is where another quintessentially Charlottesville band got their start.
This is the birthplace of the Hackensaw Boys.
The Hackensaw Boys worked at the diner when lead singer David Stickman had an idea.
David was working here. Bobby St. Hours was working here, and they decide that they're going to form this group, and all of a sudden, Bobby's brother Philip said, I got these spoons, I can play percussion, whatever, and all of a sudden, this grows out of people from the diner starting a band and saying, we'll play out front, and all of a sudden, that band grows from three guys to eventually got to 13 people, all right, if you can imagine 9, 10, 11, 13 people playing in this corner to a packed house, people spilling out on the sidewalk, just doing it literally grassroots style, and that's how that band grew out of here.
So don't push me when you need to pull me, trick me when you need to school me, hold it when you need to give it. Damn it, woman, I can't quit it.
As Rich says goodbye to yet another old friend, we make our way down the block to the last stop. Tarbell has taken us less than a mile to the new center of the Charlottesville music scene.
We're on the Charlottesville Downtown Mall, and this is where, as we've moved in our walk from the University of Virginia to downtown, this is where the music scene is centered now. This is where the venues have, through gentrification or development or what have you, as they've been pushed, it's actually landed in the Downtown Mall. And it was a retail, old school retail, department stores or what have you, and in 1990 you could have shot a cannon through this mall, this area, and not hit anyone.
Instead, we see a lot of people walking, shopping, eating lunch.
There was a group in downtown that had the idea of bringing music downtown through a thing they called Fridays After Five. Every town kind of has one. You bring your beer trucks, you bring a stage, bring the bands, people gather. And that was the start of trying to bring people down here because the retail would close at 5 o'clock. Now you introduce music here and that starts to take off. I could even argue that the music, by introducing that Fridays After Five event, introducing the music helped bring that it to its core of what it is now.
This is where the larger venues in town are, like the Southern, the Jefferson, and the new amphitheater Sprint Pavilion. And that got me thinking, where does that leave local musicians?
That's an excellent question. That's part of what I think this town struggles with is the gentrification and the building of all these great venues, is you don't have as many places where you can go to get your feet wet.
One venue that's championed local musicians is this tiny hole-in-the-wall jazz club. It's the stuff of legend, especially if you're a Dave Matthews fan. But you're not going to hear anything from Under the Table and Dreaming.
So this is Miller's.
Because Miller's is a jazz bar.
Miller's been a staple here for a long time and most known, I guess, now to a lot of people is where Dave Matthews came and had a job as a bartender. And that's important in that you watch the best of the musicians play and say, man, I'd like to get that guy. If I ever put a band together, I'd like that guy. And I'd like that guy. And he kind of scouted it out. And that's how the Dave Matthews Band came together. They would never play here, but that was the genesis of it.
So Dave blew up in, 1994, 95. So this place had been open when you could shoot a cannonball down the mall. How long is this established?
It's 35 years.
We'd come full circle. Standing in the revitalized and trendy hip downtown district, but in front of a heritage bar and venue that never left. And that got me thinking. Rich Tarbell spent a lot of time documenting what's gone on here since the 70s for his book regarding Charlottesville music. So I asked him what he thought the secret to this place was.
I asked this question of most everybody I interviewed. Everybody said, if you kind of stereotype or generalize, might be a better word, and you say, okay, New Orleans is a jazz town, Chicago's a blues town, Nashville's a country town, what's Charlottesville? Everybody had different answers. But in the end, there's Terry Allard, she's been making music in this town for 30 years or more. She said, Rich, it's a music town, period. And I thought, that's perfect. And that's literally the last line in my book.
That seems like a good line to go out on.
Well, it was an absolute pleasure having the opportunity to talk and getting a beautiful tour of the city and learning a lot about the music scene and the city itself.
Well, again, thanks for having me. It's a joy to do it. I love this town. I love talking about music. And it was a perfect day for a walk from the university downtown.
That's Rich Tarbell. His book, An Oral History and Photographic Exploration of the Charlottesville Music Scene, is called Regarding Charlottesville Music. I'm Kaleo. This is The World Cafe.